Thank you for listening to Christian Family Church Podcast. Here at CFC, our mission is to live and communicate the power of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ to the world around us. From wherever you're listening, we hope you'll be encouraged by this week's message.
Testing. Can you hear me? Awesome. That's tick one. You can hear me. How are we all today? That's good. Tick two, yes. Actually, it was about 50% of tick two, right? How are we all today?
Good.
Come on, there's lots of kids in the room. How are we all today?
Good.
That's better. Thank you. Had a rule that I was only getting up and preaching if I had energy in the room. So bring in the energy today, okay, guys? Thank you. I'm Darcy, for those who don't know me already. I'm the Volunteers Coordinator here at Christian Family Church, and I've been wanting to preach for a while now, and the opportunity presented itself to be able to preach, and I had everything organised to preach about the importance of volunteering in church, and all to do with my role, which I still will touch base on, but last week Rachel's message really spoke to me, and I hope it spoke to a lot of people in the room as well, in regards to one of the questions that she asked. And the question was it mine or your ultimate hope? What is your ultimate hope, was the question. And like probably most people in the room, my first response was like, yeah, that's easy, it's God. Hand up, yeah, easy, question answered. Took me about 2 seconds after that to realise, hang on a minute, is that necessarily true right now? Where I was sitting in the room back there that Sunday, was that actually true? And how do I get to that point? What is it that I need to do to make sure that God is my ultimate hope? So I actually grabbed my phone out, which don't encourage, grab a pen and paper out next time, but grabbed my phone out and I wrote down the things that are stopping me from putting God first at the moment and what it is that is really stressing me out and stopping him from being my ultimate hope. The list was the constant stress of finances, trying to find the perfect work-life balance, the thought of how can I look the best in this situation. And that's a big one, especially we talk about popularity, we talk about how I'm going to be perceived in a room. So the other ones were trying to make a method for everything I do, and then most importantly was trying to do everything in my own strength, which... hands up if anyone in this room can relate to any of those things that I've just spoken about. Awesome, that's a good start. Tick again. So I'm sure that everyone can relate, and not just to one of them, some of you might relate to many of them. And I know that with today's fast-paced world, and it's natural to be caught up in the pursuit of worldly success and possessions. However, as Rach mentioned last week, the question that Rach asked last week, I felt very overwhelmed about. I felt that, not the overwhelming feeling of I can't do this, that's not what it was, it's like, oh, this is impossible. It was the overwhelming feeling of I can't do this by myself. It's not just in me that I can do this. So what I'm going to be talking about today is about a few different things, but really identifying three main points, which I'll come across clearly soon, but and as I was talking about before, I spoke to Andrew, gosh, it would have been a few months ago now, it's gone that fast, but it feels like yesterday, about what exactly that I was going to be preaching about, and I apologise, Andrew, because that's done a backflip now. I will touch base about the importance of being part of the church family and volunteering at church, but really got two main points I want to touch on first. So today, rather than waiting till the end of the sermon and putting up the three takeaways that I want you to get out of today, I'm actually going to put them up first. So point one is, lean not on your own understanding. Point two is, iron sharpens iron. And point three is, duties versus opportunities. So I'm going to jump straight into point one, and I'll ask if you can open your Bibles up to Proverbs 3, and we're going to start from verse 1, and we're going to go through to 6. But while you get your Bibles out, I've actually... because the kids and the bubs are all in the room today, and because who doesn't like a bit of Colin Buchanan, I've got a little video to show. Please sing along if you know. That's not it, that's just the intro, it's okay.
I think I'm going to sing a memory verse here.
Here we go.
Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6.
Thanks, Tech Team. Well done. So, hopefully you've opened up by now. Proverbs 3, we're going to start at 1. So, my son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you peace and prosperity. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in sight of God and man. So, I'm just going to pause on that for a moment. The scripture is already addressing one of those stresses that I've spoken about earlier, which was reputation. So it's sometimes we can be wound up about trying to look the best in a room, look the best in a situation. It's like the more people that we have on our side on the room, or the more followers we have on Facebook, or the more people that like what I'm wearing today, the better I'm going to be seen in God's eyes, which is not the case at all. As Rach mentioned last week, these worldly things don't actually have much in a way of winning over God's favour or man's favour. So when the word says in verse 3, let love and faithfulness never leave you, bind them around your neck, write them on the tablet of your heart, then you will win favour and a good name in the sight of God and man. So it isn't the newest iPhone. It's not the best clothes. It's not the fancy car I drive around. It's a Hilux, by the way. It's not the house that I have. It's not anything that we've got that is a worldly possession. It's the love and faithfulness that we show to one another as a church family, in our communities here at Colac, wherever it is that we go, wherever we travel, wherever we move. We might be in one place, move to another. We're showing love and faithfulness. It's not about what I take with me. It's about what I can bring to there. So these worldly possessions, for some reason, be the main stresses in our lives. But we've just found out via that it doesn't matter. The main thing that matters is that we treat everyone with love and faithfulness, just like Jesus did when he was here, and that we remain faithful to God in his church. So we're going to move on to verse 5 now, which says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. Absolutely love the song. And I'll be completely honest with you, when I first come to this church, 2015, yep, 2015. It was a, what do we used to call them? Family service, I think that's what we called them at that point, family service. And the kids' church were up there, and they, the kids' church, so probably all the youth now, actually, I think about it. Yeah, actually, you were there. Yeah, right up. So they were all up here, and they did that. It wasn't a memory verse, they just happened to do it as well as their memory verse as well. And so technically, if we want to be technical, it's the first song I fully remembered as a Christian. Thanks, Colin. But we want to talk about what does the lean on your own understanding even mean? And why is it important that we lean on God's understanding? So looking at the first question, what does it mean? So I'm going to put it simply today, like I don't have an hour and a half to today, unless you just want to hang around. But to put it simply, it comes to the decisions in our lives that we have to make. We should be listening and trusting in God's way of thinking and trying to realize when we are making decisions in our own strength. Because if we can realize when we're doing it in our own strength, then that's now when we can pray and we can do it in God's strength. And why is this all important? Why is it important that we lean on God's understanding? Well, like you should always be doing when we ask any question, we should be opening up the Word. So I've got a few examples that I'm going to go through right now. And it took me not even, I've written down it took me 5 minutes, but I've got, it took me about 2 minutes to find two really good examples on why it is important to lean on God's understanding. Which example one is, His ways are perfect and our ways are flawed. The scripture says God's ways are perfect and that man's are flawed. See, if we look at Psalm 18:30, we're talking about His ways. We're talking about as for God, His way is perfect. The Lord's word is flawless. He shields all who take refuge in Him. And then we look at man's way. So we're looking at Proverbs 14:12, where it says, there is a way that seems right to man, but its end is the way to death. And I know it sounds very heavy, and it sounds like something that should be touching base on a lot longer duration as well, but Solomon in this passage is talking to his son and refers to the fact that sometimes the way or the path seems right to us, and it might seem like it's going the right way and that we're doing the right things, but the way to death, or less crucially said, the path away from God, is not clearly marked. The Lord tells us, gives us instructions and gives us steps to live a good way. There is a way that seems right to man, but it ends in the way to death. The way to death, like I said, less crucially, or the path away from God, Solomon isn't just referring to the fact that we can, the fact that we cannot just rely on our own understanding when it comes to our Christian walk. He's asking us to remember that in God's way, it's perfect and flawless. He's asking us to remember that even if we feel like it might be the right thing, we should always be praying about it. We should always be listening and hearing what God has to say about the situation. So we should be living in the same ways that Jesus did, which was the love and trust in the Lord. And then example two, which I've got up there, is His ways do not change. Our hearts can change. So looking at Numbers 23, verse 19 here, we talk about God is not human, that He should lie. Not a human being, that He should change His mind. Does He speak and then not act? Does He promise and not fulfill? This passage isn't saying that His decisions don't change. This passage is saying that His way doesn't change. And I love that they use Waymaker, and I love the songs, and I can tell you today that Rach, Beck and I didn't have some sort of meeting about our communion and our worship and our sermon today. There was no closed doors conversation about, oh, we're going to make this line up with this. It's not what it is. And you're going to see a few, even talking about hope, like Beck was talking about, some of the stuff that she got out of the, how did you say it in an American accent again? Mom. We didn't catch up. God works in these ways that He wants us to hear that message again and again. Repetition, just like a child learning, repetition is really key on learning, and God does that for us as well. So like I was saying, this passage isn't saying that His decisions do not change. It is saying that His ways do not change. The ways of love and kindness that we've already spoken about. Humans like us, we can go through waves of emotions, and our ways can be altered by what's around us. The people we decide to hang out with, how much time we invest in other things. I'll be honest, I've woken up and I just feel horrible some days, just the way we wake up sometimes. And just like Rach mentioned last week, the check engine light that she spoke about, sometimes we can be so blinded by our ways that instead of looking down at our check engine light and to see that it's on, we then go to someone else and think that their check engine light's on. We want them to go get a service. But let's look at us and let's check our check engine light first, like Rach mentioned last week. But it is important to remember that if we lean on His understanding, so back to why we're talking about these examples in the first place of His ways are perfect and He does not change, it is important to remember that because then we know that we can trust in something that is a foundation. We can trust in something that is firm. It's amazing to see that and to hear that his ways are flawless. Because I know that mine aren't. Mine are very flawless. And if I can trust in something that is flawless, and I know that if I can talk to someone and pray for someone and pray to someone that is flawless, then I hope, and my prayer is for everyone and for myself as well, that God rubs off and Jesus rubs off on us every day. And it's comforting to know that we can accept that we're not perfect. Doesn't mean that, and I spoke to Rach when I caught up with Rach earlier in the week, and I spoke to her about, like, everyone, we always talk about, oh, you can't aim for perfect. You can't get there. It's impossible. But there's a difference between aiming for perfect and still aiming to be loving. So if we're talking about being perfect in loving one another, there is things that we can do and things that we can proactively do that can help us become not perfect, but a lot better. So we're not aiming for perfect, but we're aiming for a lot better. So as I move on to point two, which then goes, we're going to have a chat about as iron sharpens iron. And young adults in the room today, we know that that's our, well, pretty sure it still is. Yep, Matt's got a thumbs up. That's good. That's our motto, our logo, iron sharpens iron. We're here for each other. We're always there to talk. And no matter what we're going through, we're going to help each other and build each other up to be the Christians that God wants us to be. So we're going to look at Proverbs 27:17, which is the verse of, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. And the idea of iron sharpening clearly implies that there must be two pieces. Can't be sharpening iron with iron if you don't have another piece of iron. Bit hard to bend back on yourself and sharpen yourself. So we're talking about at least two bits, two or more. And these bits of iron are sharpened, to be sharpened, they rely on each other. This is the same with our lives. For us, in metal terms, to be sharp or not to be blunt, but more in human terms, if we're run down, if we're dull, if we're stuck in a rut, if we just feel like we're not getting anywhere, we need to make sure that we have fellowship and accountability within our church family. So before I go on a little bit further, I want to share a little story that I found. In a village, there lived a man named Joe, who was known for his unshakable faith and his desire to do everything in God's strength. One day, Joe decided to plant a garden in his backyard. But he knew very little about gardening. Undeterred, he prayed, "Dear Lord, please guide me in planting this garden. Make it prosper and give it strength." As Joe began to dig holes and plant seeds, he noticed his neighbour Tom, a seasoned gardener. Let's call him Mike in our story. Oh, they're not here today. Oh, Mike, if you're watching at home, there's a shout out to you. We're going to change his name to Mike now. Mike couldn't resist offering some unsolicited advice. "Hey, Joe," Mike called out, "you might want to space those plants out a little bit and you need some sun on them." Joe, wanting to do things in God's strength, or what he thought was God's strength, and not relying solely on Mike's help, "Thanks, Tom, but I'm trusting in the Lord to provide. He will make these plants grow." Days turned into weeks, and Joe's garden struggled. His plants were overcrowded, and they were not thriving as they should be. Meanwhile, Mike's garden next door was flourishing and beautiful with healthy plants. One day, Joe was out in his garden, and he couldn't help but feel a bit discouraged, like we all do sometimes. He looked up to the sky and said, "Lord, I thought you were going to help me with this garden." And a voice seemed to respond, "Joe, I sent you Mike, your knowledgeable neighbour, to help you, but you decided to go it alone. Sometimes I provide help through the people I place in your life." So this story is showing us that it's important to notice when we're trying to do things in our own strength and when we're trying to do things in God's strength. Joe asks for help. The Lord sent Mike. Joe's response was, "Oh, I can still do this in my own. Well, I think I can do it in your strength, but I'm going to try and do my own strength." So God knows that we need more than just our own strength to live healthy and happy lives. Just like the plants, we need encouragement and we need others around us. I want to encourage people to be seeking fellowship and to be asking for accountability amongst our church family. I know it's something that I really struggled with when I first started coming to church, and I would, okay, I'm in the building, that's a good start. I'm here, I'm talking to people. I love to talk, so that's never an issue. But I'm here, I'm talking to people. Another tick box. Oh, I'm listening, okay? I'm listening to worship. Might not be singing along yet, I've just started. I remember seeing a couple of youth at the time, so with their arms raised at the front of the church, and I first thought, what have I gotten myself into? Like, sitting somewhere over there, somewhere in those seats, obviously they were red pews back then, but sitting over there and seeing these youth raising their hands at the front, same age as me. Obviously, had been coming to church and understood what it was to come to church and to be a Christian and to have God's love, but I sat there and I thought, I should say, what have I got myself into? But Deanne, what did you bring me to? But it was incredible to then look back at it and go, now, I craved that accountability. I craved seeing people enjoying worship. I craved having people come up to me and say, this is why I'm doing it. This is why we raise our hands. This is, and I didn't even know who God was at that point, but I craved listening to a message each week because it was something that, you know, your spirit just wants it. Your spirit wants to be able to hear and listen and learn and become closer to God. Even if you're new here today, even if you have walked in this church today without knowing who God is, I hope and I pray, and we all pray, that you leave here today with this wanting more, being able to understand, not understand God, but understand what it means to come back again. Because I know that the questions that come up in my head during the first time I come to church was the reason why I stayed. It wasn't something that deterred me. It was something that made me want to come back again. Like, oh, that person's the same age as me. They're raising their hands at the front. I've never seen that before. We went to a Catholic school, and I remember church being walking up. Oh, what, I can't remember what it was now. What did we do this? Yeah. That's all I remember church being. Like, and hymns and listening to, we had Father Matt, who was an absolute legend to this day still, and listening to him and not knowing anything that he was talking about. He was reading scripture, and at that thought, I thought he was reading a book. That's all it was, just a book to me. But it was through my church family and getting to know you guys that helped me understand even more that it's not a book. It's scripture, and it's the Lord's word. It's a law. It's what we want to aspire to be. It's perfect. We're aiming for it. We won't get there. We'll try our very best to get there, but it's perfect. So just like in James 5:16, so therefore confess your sins. It is up there. All right, there we go. Yep. Therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. So let's be praying for each other and remember that God has planted us here in this church today, tomorrow, yesterday, to care and love for one another. That is, it in itself is important, just caring and loving for one another, praying for each other, is such an important and an active way that can contribute to the CFC church family. And on that note, so talking about church family, I'm actually going to invite Sarah up on stage for a couple of minutes, and she's going to have a chat to us about that on the topic. So I'll just grab a mic for you, Sarah. Testing, testing.
Darcy, you're going to hold that for me.
Oh, of course I can. Thanks. I'm going to turn this one off.
Testing.
Yeah, so Darcy very nicely asked me to come up here, and only because he was so nice, I said yes. it's much more nicer down there. So there's two things, you know, that I think we can really struggle with as humans when we're coming into community. It's being honest and making mistakes. I don't know how you feel on that, Darcy, but yeah, two things that, you know, it's like it's inbuilt in us. And I'm not saying honesty in terms of the opposite of a lie, but honesty in regards to how we really think and how we really feel. Mummy said yes. So to be completely seen as we are. The reason that it's hard to be honest is because we're built to fit in. We really want to fit in. And it's really this desire to fit in and to get it right, which, you know, Darcy's mentioned a few times today, that, you know, making mistakes can feel quite daunting. However, we really need this honesty and making mistakes to be an authentic and thriving community. The reason for this, which, you know, Darcy's kind of brought up a few times, is because there are two things that can cause us to go off a cliff, metaphorically speaking, of course. I have fallen off a cliff, wouldn't recommend it, it's not fun. But there are two ways we can fall off a cliff, and it's operating only as individuals or operating just in group thinking. Either of those options actually can lead us off a cliff. And the best thing that we can have is honesty and making mistakes to check in on each other and to grow. I love being around people who challenge my thinking. It creates such robust relationships, robust conversations, and a robust community. What it communicates is that you can be different to me and we can still be welcome with one another. So, yeah, I suppose in summary, it's, you know, the hardest things is to be honest. Right now, I'm feeling really nervous. I don't love this. Making mistakes publicly, maybe it's a bit embarrassing. But if we don't be honest, if we don't risk making a mistake, we always stay thinking as an individual, or no one challenges the group think. Either of those two things sends us off a cliff. So I do encourage us to look out for where we can be honest, where we can make mistakes, so we can check in on each other's thinking.
Thanks, Sarah. Give her a round of applause. All good.
Thanks, Sam. Thank you, Sarah. Thank you so much. When I asked Sarah if she wanted to come up for a couple of minutes and have a chat, I'll do the quick story for you, but it's basically, I had on my heart that someone needed to speak, someone wanted to speak. I had no idea who it was. And the day that I was thinking this was happening, I then went and had a chat to Deanne about it, and then Deanne actually threw out Sarah's name, which was incredible. But then that same day that I was doing that, the day after, I messaged Sarah, and then Sarah's response was, actually, I was just thinking about that yesterday. I was like, oh, how incredible is that? That you had the opportunity that God put that in that situation, that she was preparing for it without even realizing. She had no idea that she was going to be speaking, but her heart was asking the questions that I was hoping, just like she's done there, and she got to share today. So thank you, Sarah. And, sorry, guys, just get back on my notes. So being actively involved as part of a church family, it's not just talking about a duty, but an incredible opportunity. So, which leads me to point three, duties versus opportunities. Thank you, Charlie. We're going to have a look at today as well about, rather than seeing serving here in a church, serving your God, serving wherever it is that you serve, as a duty, as much as it is as well, we want to see the opportunity that it creates for others and those around you. So we should be looking for each opportunity to serve in and around the church of God. I have a few scriptures that I'm going to go through, so bear with me. There is four scriptures here. We're going to look at Colossians first, which is Colossians 3, verse 23 to 24. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Remember that, it is the Lord Christ you are serving. We're going to look at 1 Peter 4, which is verse 10 to 11. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others, as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks in the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength of God, that strength that God provides. So that in all things, God may be praised through Jesus Christ. And 2 Corinthians 9:7. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And whenever I hear that verse, I automatically think, oh, The verse is talking about money. It's talking about giving money. It's not talking about giving money at all. There's so many ways that we can give our gifts to help the church and to help our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So whether that be the gifts, which we're just about to talk about now in Romans 12, 6 to 8. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, then do diligently. If it is to show mercy, then do cheerfully. All of these scriptures are reinforcing the idea that our involvement in church should be viewed as an opportunity to serve God and others cheerfully, with a cheerful heart, rather than mere duties or obligations. When we approach our service in this way, as an opportunity, it becomes joyful, it's fulfilling, and it encourages spiritual growth. I know I love personally volunteering here at CFC, and it brings me so much joy and fulfillment, and more than I could get out of any worldly activity. I mean, I had such a fun night playing mixed netball the other night on a Monday, but it had nothing compared to standing at the front and welcoming people in, helping with communion, helping out on tech desk if something's wrong, those sort of things. The joy of volunteering on a Sunday and throughout the week brings me so much more fulfillment than any other worldly activity could. And being part of the church is something that I cherish. And if it's okay for a little bit now, I'm just going to have a quick chat about me and my family. And I'm not asking for pity, and I'm not asking for attention. I just want to see how God portrays you in my eyes. I grew up in a non-Christian home. My mum passed away when I was 18. And I now have very little to do with my family. As much as I pray for them constantly to be entrenched back into my life. As much as I pray to be entrenched back into my life, it's something that I see happen in spurts. I've got a lot more communication with some of my family members now than I used to. And I'm very blessed that over the last 12 months I actually get to see physical blood relatives here at church. And before that though, before they started coming, I was lucky enough to consider all of you my family. I thank God every day that I get to have such an incredible mentors in my life, and getting to volunteer beside you all is something that I know here that through my role at church has more importance and has built more relationships up for me and has drawn me closer to God than any other relationship that I could have. Apart from that, with my wife and my kids and my... And I just want to make sure that I want to touch on the importance of building those relationships and also requesting accountability as a church family. As much as it's something that I don't talk about heaps, my family, I am very proud to call you all my family, and it's something that I know that I had. There was a gap to be filled, and it's not that you filled a gap and it's not that God filled a gap that was empty. God filled a gap exactly where he was meant to be. I didn't see him before. He was always there for me. I look back at my life before I started attending a church, and I look at so many of the incredible things that happened that I can see clearly now that it wasn't in my family or my strength. It was all in God's strength. And the love and support that I received from you all has taken me from a place where I could have really struggled. I could have taken my frustrations out on God. I had every right to be angry. I had every right to ask why this has happened to me. I'd every right to ask why was it that my mum passed away. But that love and support that was shown through me through God, Jesus, and my church family, all you guys, has encouraged me not only to become closer to God, but to be up here today and encouraging others to lean on God's understanding and to love and support each other as a CFC, as a church family, not just CFC, everyone in the Kylo community. And I'm going to invite the band back on stage. But before, actually, as they're coming up, I want to read one more verse, which is 1 Thessalonians 5, 9 through 11. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. Such an awesome reminder about what it is that we need to be doing and the sacrifice that was made on that cross, but also on the fact that we're not off target. We are, with God's strength, we are able to show love to one another. In fact, we are already doing it. It's shown through how God displays you to me, how the love and care that every single person shows each other here on a Sunday morning, and I hope that it continues throughout the week. We don't get to see it throughout the week, but that's my prayer for everyone today, is that the love and care that everyone shows here on a Sunday morning and the chats that happen after a Sunday afternoon, I pray that it happens during the week as well. So thank you so much for listening today. And just before I finish, I'm going to finish in prayer. So Lord Jesus, we just thank you for the ability to be standing here today or sitting here today, Lord Jesus. We thank you for the gift that is you and the gift that is our CFC church family and beyond. Lord, I just pray that as we go throughout our weeks, that we don't forget how we act on a Sunday morning. That we continue that on in your strength and leaning on your understanding. Lord, I pray that as the worship say their last, sing their last song tonight, Lord, I pray that all hands can be raised, Lord. And I encourage people to come up for prayer during the song or after the song as well, Lord Jesus. I pray that anyone that needs or anyone that reflects on today's message, Lord, that they can come forward and ask for prayer. Ask for accountability as a church family, Lord Jesus. And we thank you and we bless you and we glorify you that each day we continue to get to love and respect one another. Regardless on what happens in the past, Lord, we get to look into the future, Lord, and we get to look for a life with you, Lord Jesus Christ. So thank you, Lord, and we pray this in our Father's name. Amen.